You gaze at me as if I were a painting on a wall, while I gaze at you as a zombie takeout on a silver platter.
What's up? Welcome to episode 342, I think, of Zombie Takeout, the B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Michael John.
And I'm Scotto.
And I say I think because we were supposed to do this episode on YouTube, but there was a bit of a technical issue. And as such, I don't have the episode number in my notes. So I hope it's 42. I think it's 42.
Yeah, this video quality this week is really shit.
Yeah.
Can't see a damn thing.
And before we get to this week's movie, just a couple of points I wanted to address about, or a bit of a follow-up to last week's discussion on Stranger Things. Over the week, I thought about a few things. Eleven's sort of side quest before rejoining the party kind of reminds me of, and I've only seen this once, I don't know how common of a thing it is, when a DM decides to be kind and when you die gives you the option of a side quest to rejoin the party instead of, you know, making you create a new character. Like I said, I've only seen it once, but it did remind me of that, because she kind of died at the end of season one, and this was kind of, you know, buying that back.
Well, I guess she didn't really die, though.
Well, she didn't technically die, but I thought she did, and effectively it could be considered a death since she went to another plane.
Yeah, really, side quests, from what I remember, were just kind of to shake things up a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this was. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's setting up future adventures.
Right. And I also figured out Max's place in the party, kind of her class. You know, she says Zoomer, but I mean, in terms of like actual classes. Because if you think about it, she was useful, but didn't really excel at anything. And the only thing she really brought to the party was transportation.
Right. Yeah, she could skateboard. She could drive.
She was the druid.
Ooh.
If you think about it, they're a hybrid class. They do a little bit of everything. They don't really excel at anything. The thing they really do bring to the party is transportation.
It's really a class that we never really got to work.
Two of the shows I watch, two of the games I watch, I have druids, and you know they can hold their own, but the thing that they really, you know, bring is teleportation, the ability to travel through trees.
Oh, okay, I never thought of that.
And Max is transportation. That's really the one thing she brings that nobody else can bring.
Like, if you have a druid in the party, you're kind of stuck doing wooded adventures. You know, or your that character is useless.
Well, yeah, because they can fight, they can heal. You know, the elemental forms are useful. But yeah, the thing they really bring is, you know, the ability to travel through trees, and yeah, you do need a tree to travel to.
It was the one class that we never really got. It never really worked. We tried a little, you know, just switch to something else.
I've been watching a couple of them for over a year now. I've gotten kind of used to it. Actually, close to 2 years, I think. So, you know, I've gotten kind of used to the class at this point. Anyway, on to this week's movie, which is from 1977, Deathbed, The Bed That Eats. Of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Crackers. Turns out they're not the worst thing that can be eaten in bed.
And also brought to you by Dismemberment. Painless and casual way of killing someone. All right, so I mean, this could very well be the shortest plot summary in Zombie Takeout history. we have a bed, and it eats.
Yeah,
it eats people.
And there's an artist who is one of its victims who, you know, is trapped behind a painting and narrates the whole thing annoyingly.
We could really get into detail here. And I'll get into a deep, deep, deep detail of this. We have a demonic spirit that has possessed a bed, and he has taken the life of an artist and, I guess, imprisoned his soul in a wall behind a painting, making him watch, you know, him kill 1,000 somehow. If you pay attention to the newspaper clippings, the pen was responsible for thousands of deaths.
And that mayor disappeared really quickly.
And then, it lures people in to its bed-like charms and then kills more people.
With
hilarity ensues. Yes, with suds. Tiny bubbles.
And the movie starts off with this black screen and this sound that is apparently supposed to be the bed eating. It's clearly somebody chomping on an apple.
Right.
But the bed doesn't chew.
No.
It dissolves people with, like, I guess, stomach acid or whatever.
I guess, yeah, I guess it's digestive fluid, stomach acid in a bed.
But yet they start with this eating sound. It made about as much sense as everything else in the movie.
Right, the bed does not have teeth, by the way.
No.
There are no teeth on this
despite
bed.
The image I put together for this episode, just because that's how else do you draw an eating bed but put a mouth on it.
Oh, sure, sure.
By the way, this was written and produced and directed by George Barry. It was his only feature.
You don't say.
And even though filming began in 72, the answer print was not struck until 77, and the film was not released until 2003.
No shit.
On the official DVD release the next year, 2004, in the introduction, Barry claims to have essentially forgotten that he even made the film.
Wow. That is very surprising.
How do you forget you made a movie?
So
how do you forget you made your only movie?
So he made this in 72.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't actually get printed until 77.
Mm-hmm.
And then didn't actually get released until 03. Right. Am I getting that right?
Just about, yeah.
So it set...
I'm not sure what an answer print is, but okay. Aside from that, yeah.
I mean, he did all the editing and shit. He put everything together, but didn't actually print it.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm gathering.
And it doesn't say anything about how long it took to make, because it does kind of feel like a weekend project.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, he could have done the different stories at different times.
True.
You know, like, he had a few different cast members, like that intro that was absolutely meaningless. He could have done that at a different time altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had the three women and then the Danny Bonaducci guy at the end.
Right.
Or Art Garfunkel, mm-hmm. Not sure.
Yeah. I will say the artist, the guy trapped behind the wall, was a decent actor.
Oh, right, which was very striking, because you're not expecting that in a movie like this.
Mm-hmm.
You're not expecting, you know, this Olivier-sounding dude.
And I loved whenever the bed drank. At one point early on, there's a wine bottle. Later on in the film, there's a Pepto-Bismol bottle that damn near had me falling out of my chair.
Yes.
Because it doesn't just consume the bottle. It actually drinks from the bottle. It's kind of somehow, with the stomach acid, somehow sucks the liquid out of the bottle.
And don't forget, it's a very considerate demon. He returns the empties.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just eat empties. Returns them.
And I was very disappointed with the off-screen death early on, the first death. You know, we just kind of see the bubbles coming up and then it cuts to, you know, something else.
Right. Someone just put too much detergent in the washer and then all of a sudden they're dead.
But they made up for it later in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, we definitely clearly see the later deaths.
And they even begin with, one of the first lines of the movie is, "Hey, baby, there's nothing to worry about." So, the tone is set right away.
Mm-hmm. And is it just me, or does the room the bed is in look like a black box theater?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's someone's basement, right?
That's probably the case, yeah.
Yeah.
I just expected, you know, to see, like, part of a chair in the side of a shot at one point. You know, in like an audience chair.
I mean... The whole reason we're doing this movie, of course, is from a Patton Oswalt bit from the album Werewolves and Lollipops, which I posted the bit onto our Facebook page.
Oh, okay. Which explains why you called it the bed that eats people when you first looked for it, because that's what he calls it.
Yeah. Well, because that would make sense, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
The bed that eats. Like, wait, the bed that eats what? And clearly, I mean, because his whole bit is like, how the fuck? He uses it for inspiration when he's feeling bad about his writing.
It apparently it inspired him to write Rape Stove, the stove that rapes people.
Yes. That there's a dude that came up with this idea and went through with it. But seeing it, it's pretty obvious how he came up with this.
Mm-hmm.
He pretty much just said, well, I want to make a movie, but what could I possibly make the movie out of? And he probably just had this weird location and mm-hmm. this bed.
Yeah.
And just shrugged his shoulders and just said, all right, we'll go with that. Mm-hmm. That's my guess.
And I got to say, for the most part, I liked it. You know? I mean, it's a bad movie, but it's a fun bad movie.
Exactly. It does not disappoint in the bad movie. Like, holy shit, what was this guy on when he did this?
There were a few things that I thought were a little overdone.
Just a few?
Well, when it's sawing through the girl's neck with the chain, that just took too long.
Well, yeah, that is the big flaw of this movie. For enjoyment's sake, not for quality, because obviously quality's out the window here, guys.
Right, of course.
For 77 minutes, this movie moves slow as fuck.
Okay. And when the other woman was escaping it? Because I did like that one of them put up a fight and she tried to get away. They weren't all easy kills. That was nice.
Right, that was good.
But they spent what felt like about 10 minutes on her escape.
It felt like they took 20 minutes to half an hour on the, what I have in my notes, the seamless exposition.
Yeah.
We've been trapped together for, you know, hundreds of years, but I think I will tell you the story again. Mm.
That whole backstory was confusing as hell.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, just two dudes playing cards in bed. Not that there's anything wrong with that, of course. But it had probably one of my favorite lines of the movie. And not that the line was written well or anything, but it was just the delivery of the line. I'm being eaten alive.
Yeah.
Delivered with that much oomph. I'm being eaten alive.
And I love that the tank that all the bodies and their effects were in was like twice the width of the bed.
Yeah.
Because it fit bodies.
And it could somehow transport the remains, you know, outside or whatever, you know. It could move things. It wasn't just a helpless bed. It had, it could pull things across the room.
Mm-hmm. And
you sure you don't want to go with holy sheet as the sheet across the room?
And the bed's origin story was nicely mythological. You know, a demon tried to have sex with a human. It created a killer bed.
Hey, that makes sense. If only Joseph Campbell, you know, I wish he'd talked with this guy instead of George Lucas.
Yeah. And I liked one of the graves in that whole backstory. The name on it was Rudyard Blake.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Like they took Kipling and Blake and just combined them.
Oh, okay.
Although at one point one of the women is smoking a cigarette and the artist says something about tobacco, and there's a close up on the cigarette. I don't think it was tobacco.
Well, it could have just been a cigarette that they rolled.
That's true. She could have rolled her own. Yeah, I don't know, the wrapping paper was kind of grayish.
Yeah, there was weed.
And when the one woman was trying to escape, one of the others comes in and tries to save her. And I say try in quotes, because she really didn't do anything.
Yeah.
She just
kinda... Oh my god, that's so horrible. If only there was something I could do to get you out of here.
Yeah, if only my head wasn't stuck to this lamp. And then, you know, her brother shows up, or the brother of one of the women, who you forgot to mention the backstory, or the side plot of the brother kind of trying to find his sister who was missing, who had been eaten by the bed.
He wasn't the brother of the one that was...
Oh, no, he was the brother of the one who survived. Well, almost survived.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, you're right. That was his sister. He shows up, And he finds her, you know, kind of, you know, panicking in the corner of the room. And suddenly the bed kind of just throws up this eye, kind of literally throws it up, and bounces it around. He should have been horrified by that.
Of course.
He's just standing there kind of unimpressed.
Nobody reacts to anything in this film.
No.
It's hilarious. I mean, you can have the flesh ripped from your skin, from your body, and just kind of be like, oh, that's a shame. Oh, the bones in my hands are just gonna fall away, I guess. That's a bummer.
At one point he's reaching into the bed, and his hands get dissolved down to the bone. I
And
don't
seem
think
to
you could
grow
survive that.
about 5 times the size of what they normally were.
Yeah. It was surprisingly gory, and I don't think you could survive that.
But it was so mundane. It was just,
Yeah.
oh, and that's a bummer. I can you be a deer and
Yeah.
just pull it away, because it's all just gonna fall off on its own. And I'd much rather have my bones ripped apart.
And the demon falling asleep was awfully convenient. You know, suddenly the demon falls asleep and they can escape through this ritual that initially involved them just leaving, or she had to get her brother away. Why didn't they just keep going? Why didn't she come back to do the ritual?
And yeah, I think we gotta spoil this, because it's just we can't review this movie without saying
Yeah,
this.
and we can't spoil. This is one of those cases where we can't spoil it. It's
You're gonna watch this multiple times anyway,
yeah.
let's be
Yeah.
honest. This should have a midnight showing.
Absolutely.
Why the fuck doesn't it? But they kill the creature. I mean, I'm not even sure if this is what happened, but this is what I'm gathering. They killed the creature by fucking, didn't they?
Yeah.
What happened?
And the first part of the ritual after she got her brother out of the room, she comes back and lights this fire circle, fire and blood circle,
Yeah.
which transports the bed out into the woods.
Of course. Completely logical.
And then, like, one of the women who died and the brother, you know, the parts of them were used in for the ritual, so they're kind of taken over by the spirits of the original human woman and the demon who tried to, you know, copulate with her, and they fuck on the bed. And
And
the
that
whole thing
kills
blows
her.
up. Yeah.
Sorry we spoiled that, but I mean,
You still need to see it.
try to get your head wrapped around that
Yeah.
still. Because I saw it, and I still don't quite understand.
Yeah. On to sequels and remakes.
Sure. I think I've done I've got my notes.
Big Dog Productions in Wilmington, North Carolina, in 2014 announced a live stage adaptation with Barry consulting on the project.
Wow.
And I mean, live stage does work. I mean, most of it is in a room that looks like a black
Yeah.
box theater anyway. You know, you'd need basically a flashback or some kind of other setting for the demon, maybe.
Yeah, you just use some other portion of the stage. I mean,
Yeah. On to brains.
on the brains.
You actually talked me up during the episode, or as you were talking about it, I brought it up. I'm going for, I have to recommend it.
Yeah, this is something you've got to see for yourself at
Yeah.
least once. This is the horror version of My Mother the Car for brains.
Although, some places are saying it's the worst movie ever made, and we've talked about this before.
No, this is not the worst
Not the
movie ever
worst movie ever
based.
made.
We've seen the horror.
That's the thing is,
Horrors that you've seen.
because we've, you know, we're so, we have such a concentrated, you know, history with bad movies. You know, I don't think people who claim, you know, Troll 2 or The Room are the worst, or this are the worst movie ever, I don't think they've seen the horror of Neil Breen.
No, they haven't.
And I don't think anybody's going to top Neil Breen. And if anybody out there knows of a worse movie than the work of Neil Breen, please let us know.
I mean, there was one scene in this movie where there was like a whole bunch of background noise. I'm not even sure what the fuck was going on. And by the way, nothing says romance like cold fried chicken, but that's another story. That whole sequence at the beginning was just like, what?
All right, so what have we learned?
He's more furniture than man now.
Nice.
This came out the same year as Star Wars, by the way.
And I learned that even monsters can have mother issues. All right, so until 2 weeks from now, we're off next week because of Thanksgiving here in the U.S. When we'll be reviewing The Day the Earth Stood Still, finally beginning our science fiction double feature.
Yeah, this is a good precursor to that science fiction double feature, because this should have the Rocky treatment.
Absolutely.
I don't know what costumes people could dress in. I mean, but they should go all out for this, too.
Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and YouTube. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And if you enjoy the show, spread the word. Give us a little word of mouth. Of course, we appreciate all of the listeners we have, but more would be better. You also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review in order through the end of the year. Three more episodes. Science fiction double feature, and our holiday episode. Are we ready to talk about that yet?
Can you believe we're pretty much done with the year?
Yeah. Do we want to reveal what we're doing for the holidays, or wait until after Black Friday?
Yeah, I think we can reveal what we're doing since we're going to be off for Thanksgiving anyway.
We're going to be revealing a group of holiday-themed shorts. One of them being... it's not Bad Santa, but it's, I forget the name of it. Zombie Santa, that's it, from Nigel Bock. I didn't get a chance to watch the Bad Ben trilogy this past weekend.
Oh.
Unfortunately. But yeah, it's another Nigel Bock movie and some other Christmas-themed shorts that we'll be reviewing. So it is more than one movie per episode in an episode, but in a sane way, I think.
I should hope so.
And the recommendations list. I initially gave it a 2.5. I wanted to keep it off the avoid list. And then as we're talking about it, I realized, no, you really have to see this.
Yeah, this is a good it's bad movie. It's good movie. One of those two.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you can email us on zombietakeout@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 401-436-8-ZTL1 or for the alphanumerically challenged. 414-368-9861. Of course, always remember that you'll always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee. And until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life.
There you are.
First, take your brother from here. You'll have to hurry before the demon wakes from his troubled sleep.